The end of the article isn't the end of the story. The Journal podcast goes behind the scenes with reporters and covers everything from the Mormon Church's $100 billion fund to coronavirus. Listen to The Journal on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, May 20th. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. One of the ways that officials hope to keep COVID outbreaks in check is called contact tracing. Researchers around the world have been using tech to get it done, but in Europe, they're facing concerns about privacy. Our cybersecurity reporter David Uberti will explain what they're debating and what it could tell us about contact tracing efforts here in the U.S. That's coming up after these headlines. Microsoft is expected to announce new partnerships with two Japanese companies at its virtual developer conference this week. They'll be working together to try to solve problems related to traffic congestion using quantum computing. It's part of Microsoft's recent push to make quantum computing services for software developers and part of a broader trend to commercialize the emerging technology. Facebook is getting into online shopping and launched its Facebook Shops on Tuesday. Small business owners will soon be able to personalize virtual storefronts and link shops to their Facebook and Instagram pages. CEO Mark Zuckerberg said Shops is an online solution for the closure of many physical stores during the pandemic. And starting in September, you'll only be able to listen to the Joe Rogan Experience podcast on Spotify. We report exclusively that the two have reached one of the largest licensing deals in the podcasting world to date, $100 million. The Joe Rogan Experience consistently ranks at the top of the charts, and the deal is part of Spotify's recent string of investments in podcasting as it tries to position itself as more than just a music platform. For full transparency, Dow Jones & Company, publisher of The Wall Street Journal, has a content partnership with Gimlet Media, which is a unit of Spotify. And into the end. If you've been hearing this a lot lately, you are not alone. Streams of children's music have been up more than 60% during the quarantine. According to a new survey from Nielsen and MRC, this track from Frozen 2 tops the kid charts. The survey also found that users' listening habits are changing as they spend more time at home. More people are now listening on communal devices and using music to entertain young kids. But listening to the same songs from animated movies for hours on end, understandably, is driving some parents crazy. The report said there could be an opportunity for streaming platforms to provide more content that appeals to both parents and children. In the meantime, Queen Elsa reigns. After the break, efforts to keep track of new COVID outbreaks in Europe through tech runs into privacy concerns. That's next.
When the world is at a standstill, facts can move us forward. Facts help us make decisions and bring us together even as we're apart. The Wall Street Journal has the facts in these uncertain times. Get the latest on the coronavirus outbreak with free coverage of the crisis and its impact on the economy, politics, culture, and daily life. Find the clarity you need with America's most trusted news source. Visit WSJ.com and stay informed.
As some states open up and others attempt to slow larger outbreaks of COVID-19, contact tracing has become a critical part of the strategy. That's the process of trying to figure out who's come into contact with an infected person. Around the world, researchers have been trying to figure out how smartphones could help speed up that process with apps and location tracking. But of course, they've run into the issue of privacy. In Europe, the debate has stalled over how to store the data they collect. And their argument could give us clues about the issues contact tracing apps could run into here in the U.S. Our cybersecurity reporter David Uberti has been looking into this, and he joins us now. David, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kateri.
Okay, so let's talk about this issue of data storage. It sounds like researchers are divided on how to do this. What are the sides of the argument?
Well, there's two primary models that researchers have used in terms of data storage for contact tracing apps. And the debate over this has really raged across Europe in recent weeks. One is a centralized model. Essentially, your phone collects data on either your location or your Bluetooth data about what other phones you might be coming into close contact with. It sends it to a centralized server from which public health officials can then analyze that data and send out alerts to other people who you may have come into contact with. Now, the other model is a decentralized model, which essentially does all of that process on the phones themselves. And so the debate over these two things presents some pretty significant privacy trade-offs. The centralized model obviously poses more risks of surveillance, governments essentially going inside of those servers, picking out specific examples of data, potentially misusing them for purposes that aren't related to coronavirus. The decentralized model is one that most privacy advocates around the world prefer.
It sounds kind of like it's pitting governments against companies in some sense as well, right?
It totally is. The elephant in the room in this entire debate globally is the entrance of a shared protocol designed by Google and Apple. Google and Apple are basically designing an infrastructure on top of which app developers can design apps, and they are pushing very hard for this decentralized model. Now, you have governments around the world, including the United Kingdom and also France, that have said, look, we need this data to make public health decisions. We need to be able to go in and analyze information from our residents, and we shouldn't have private companies based in California dictating those public policy decisions. So it has, in a lot of senses, really pitted private industry against public health agencies in countries around the world.
Now, looking at Europe, how close are these countries to rolling out apps like this? And which models are they now going with?
It really runs the gamut. The UK has started a trial run of its own app from the National Health Service. It's also exploring a plan B to work within the Google-Apple framework. France, as I said, is rolling out in the coming weeks its own centralized model. Then you have countries such as Germany and Italy that have in development their own decentralized models. So they're embracing the Google app infrastructure a little bit more forcefully. The United States is a little bit behind this, mostly because the federal government hasn't led a unified response, particularly with regard to the digital aspect of this problem. So you have states around the country that are slowly but surely seeing where they can integrate digital apps into their public health response. So Utah and North and South Dakota have both rolled out respective apps. A number of other states are close behind them.
Europe is really known for its strong data privacy laws. What role are those playing in the decisions that are being made here?
Well, I guess I'd reframe it in a little bit different way. It's not only the privacy laws, but it's also the culture around privacy. People across Europe are a little bit more cognizant of privacy, and they also view government as a protector of privacy in some cases, which is why you have places like Germany, which initially embraced a centralized model, actually about face and moved to a decentralized model. In the United States, people are much more distrustful of government on balance, but you do have some public distrust of tech companies in general. So it's an open question whether the public debate will play out in the same way, just given those cultural differences.
Our reporter, David Uberti, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, before we go, there's still time to share your work from home tech stories and questions with us. Our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, will be back with us on Friday to share her best tips and solutions. Leave us a voice message at the number in the description, or you can email Joanna at joanna.stern@wsj.com. And that was your Tech News Briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.